Abhinandan Prabhu from Nivrajadam was asking about for conditioned souls, at what stage of devotional service does the mind become free from the disturbance of the senses? And which is a interesting question, because it also brings up quite a few interesting points for us as pure devotees, practicing devotees. I mean, first of all, we should review that Krishna describes the hierarchy of connection between the body, the senses, mind, intelligence, and the soul. He says, Indriyani prani ahu indriya paramana manasasto puro buddhi yo buddhi parasastu sa. Which means that they're always connected. As long as you have a material body, your senses, mind, intelligence are always connected and influence and contact the soul. The question is how much the connection is there. The question then becomes how strong is the influence? While we're practicing devotees, then it becomes an issue of how strong do we tolerate an influence when we become fixed in devotional service. Then it becomes that we can tolerate it. We no longer subject ourselves to it. And when we become very much absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then it's more that we don't notice the influence. However, as I mentioned, as pure devotees, we never deny or try to actually avoid the influence in certain ways, and I'll explain what I mean by that. So, of course, when we come to Krishna consciousness, one of our main goals in the stages of Anishta Bhajana Kriya, unsteady devotional service, is to free ourselves from the vegam, from the pushings of the mind and the body that result from past sinful and pious activities. We've got so many bad habits, and we want to rise above these things and don't let them interfere with our Krishna consciousness, with our devotional service. For instance, a brahmachari sees a beautiful girl, and his senses immediately send messages to his mind, and he begins to think about all kinds of things. As a result of that, his impetuses go back to the senses again, and that goes back to the mind again, and in this way there's a whole feedback, a relationship between the mind and the senses, into which the intelligence, unless it really grabs control very quickly, becomes completely bewildered, and then one can easily fall down from one's position. So, nasta praesho badresho nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavatutma shloke bhakti bhavati naishtiki. One can come to the stage of nishta bhakti by chanting very, very determinedly, associating with advanced devotees, and regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. That gives us the spiritual strength to supersede, to tolerate the urges. We are very much aware of the urges of the senses. They disturb us. They contact our mind. They disturb us, but we have the spiritual strength to tolerate them. By continued practice in Krishna consciousness, a certain kind of transformation takes place. That transformation is that one develops sufficient taste that even though this impetus comes from the senses to the mind. The mind is more attracted to Krishna than it is to allurements of the material energy, and therefore it doesn't go there. And when even talking about conditioned souls, and when one becomes very absorbed in Krishna, then one does not even notice. It's just like when you're very busy doing one thing, something else may be happening right under your nose, but you don't even notice because you're just so absorbed in that particular activity. So devotees also may be so absorbed in the acts of devotional service, in the wonders of chanting Hare Krishna, that even though some message is coming from the senses to the mind, he just doesn't take notice. It's as if it doesn't exist. And that's a wonderful stage of Krishna consciousness. And as long as we progress in that direction, then we come to a transcendental condition where even if you notice it, one becomes completely aloof from any type of enticement. It doesn't weigh in. A person can no longer fall down. However, it's not that in all circumstances devotees want to avoid the unpleasant things that our senses cause us, either to our mind or just the experience itself. Of course, experience takes place through the mind. Let me give an example. When early days in New York, when Srila Prabhupada was in the hospital and they did spinal tap on him, devotees asked Prabhupada, "Does it hurt?" And he says, "We are tolerant." In other words, Srila Prabhupada didn't invoke some kind of mystic city or mystic yoga in order to become free from pain, the inconvenience of the body. He accepted that pain. Why did he accept that pain? Because Krishna personally takes care of a devotee. So if Krishna wants to give you some kind of physical inconvenience, then it's not a devotee's business to try to avoid that. Then we think, yes, I have yasyaham anugrahami, I have this type of suffering that's due to me as a result of my past activities. Hare Krishna, I must accept it. Or let's consider another circumstance, which we're all going to find ourselves in at some time or another, and that's the time of death. What happens when, at the time of death, then we experience pain in the period before that time? Yogis have the ability to disconnect themselves completely from the pains and pleasures of the material body. Krishna says, tams tatiksha shuladata. There is a process of tolerance where you experience something, but you tolerate it. I've been speaking about that. But they also, by different means, can actually neutralize the pains of material existence, so that they don't experience it, that they don't feel pain. Now, say if you have that type of city, that type of ability, and at the time of death you're experiencing pain, will you try to avoid it, invoke that city, or will you just accept it? In principle, I say in principle because everyone's going to have to make their own choice, and pain isn't a nice thing to deal with. In principle, we consider that Krishna is giving me this pain, therefore I should accept it. Why should I avoid it? If he wants me to be pain-free, then I won't be in pain. But he must have some purpose to all of this. He must be wanting to free me from some past reaction, therefore let me suffer my lot. That would be Srila Prabhupada's terminology. So always the body connects with the mind, and so on. But according to the position, the advancement of a devotee, he deals with that type of vegam, with that type of pushing in different ways. However, his main concern is to never forget Krishna in any condition, whatever situation he is in. And that's his main prayer. And if that desire of his can be fulfilled, then he's considered that, yes, all of his other things which may come, then let them come. We'll just accept that as the mercy of the Lord. Hare Krishna.